720 WGN. It is Dave Neal here in the Allstate Showcase Studio here in for Patty on Pretty Late until 2 a.m. And, Rob Martier talking a little bit about the weather. You know, you wonder, we kind of had such a great fall. It was nice. And, of course, now it's not so nice. And it's going to be really into the not nice at all coming up this weekend. And Dino Tiberi to my right, Bennett in the booth, Bennett Wake Knight. And Bennett has got such a cool name. I remember the first time that I met Bennett Wake Knight. Of course, his middle name is Growling Wolf. So it's Bennett Growling Wolf Wake Knight. And I thought that was a, it sounded, it's a formidable, it sounds like one of those, like, yeah. Chief, it's a chief name. But it's the kind of name that makes you think, hey, you know, are you going to be able to stay up all night? Because then we'll find out, right? Because we're going to get till two. It was, Dino, if yeah. my name was, you know, Dane Strongman, you'd constantly be, you know, challenging me with lifting boulders.
Oh, sure. Arm wrestling. Right. Whatever it takes.
It's tough.
You got to prove yourself.
It's an important mantle. So it's going to be a great show. Dino, you think to yourself, would you rather have it where, like, the entire fall is very nice and then we just right into it? Or would you rather have a couple of those kind of 40-degree weather days, you know, kind of sprinkled in there, kind of, you know, because it seemed like we had summer just kept going.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then, you know, I think it all stemmed back to last year when we were spoiled with how mild last winter was, thanks to El Nino. We had a nice,
our good friend.
Our good friend El Nino. We had a mild winter last year compared to what we're apparently going to be getting Sunday night into Monday, a little 8 to 12-inch snowstorm, according to Rob. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they set you up, and then they just slam you down right after that. It's like the weather was nice, and then all of a sudden now it just turned.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yep.
You want to go live in perfect weather, just move to La Jolla. See the next time.
Or maybe down to, you know, Vero Beach, Florida. That's where you need to go. That's a nice warm weather down there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about some of those places. 312-981-7200. You can share the places you'd rather be other than Chicago. A lot of people would love to be here. Hopefully you'll enjoy being here listening to the program. We're going to have James Beard Award winners. Lydia Bastianich, she is one of the owners and principals over there at Eataly. She is a longtime PBS television personality, author. She'll be on talking about some of the things that she's doing on the food side and her PBS special coming up. And then Belinda Chang from Maple and Ash. Dino, have you been to Maple and Ash?
I have not, but I need to get over there. So
you do?
I do. I'm looking forward to find out what it's all about.
Well, I heard 1,200 people a day is sometimes what. So the secret, the cat itself is out of the bag, way out. Lots of cats are out of the bag.
1,200.
Yeah, well, but I think it's a sizable place and can accommodate them. But so many great things you're hearing about that. We're going to talk with Belinda Chang. She is another James Beard Award-winning wine star. Going to give us a little insight into the restaurant for sure, but then also at home entertaining. If you're going to throw that holiday party, the things you're going to, how to make a champagne tower. I know we're going to hear about that.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
It's, not even in your spare time at home?
You know, maybe three cups, that was about it. You know, one and then two. At a two level, that was about as far as I ever got.
It's a holiday time. You're trying to focus on some of the good things that are going on there. With so much bad news, you know, all around the world, certainly here in Chicago, we've got our own challenges. The CNN Heroes Awards is coming up on Sunday. Every year, CNN picks 10 people from all different walks of life, kind of highlights the things that they are doing coming from different backgrounds, good things, you know, and then be able to put them on kind of a national stage. It's a great award, and we're going to talk about what's going on this Sunday. We'll have Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is one of those previous heroes. He'll talk about the award, why it's important. He'll share some of the things that he's doing on the medical side, and we're going to talk Cubs. I mean, this is... Cubs talk is almost a kind of
a year-round thing now. It's just, especially with success, you know, that usually breeds more discussion. So
yeah, we're losing some of our favorite players. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Cubs. We're going to have Shira Block. She's an author of Limerence. This is the time, Dino, when we do these programs, and you're in with me on a pretty regular basis. Rarely, you know, we'll talk about relationships, and certainly, you know, we've all had them, and so many of our listeners are in some kind of relationship, even if it's, you know, with your butcher, right? Or maybe you've got a family or
your guy that works on
the mechanic
around the house, right?
Yeah, you never know. Shira Block is going to join us. She's written a book called Limerence, and what it does, it's a book, a little risque, talking about a housewife and maybe a double life and some emotional cheating going on in the relationship and how she's dealing with it, and also kind of the modern world of dating and love. Right. And so we're going to get into that. 312-981-7200 throughout the course of the program. If you know, how are people getting together, meeting other people? We've got so many advantages on the technology side. There's so many websites to help you. There's so many funny commercials talking about websites to help you. You know, whether it's, you know, eHarmony or Match.com or Farmers Only, they're all competing for your love dollar, right?
Yep, they all want you to join up and see what's out there, so...
One way to impress the ladies, you know, and for ladies, I guess, to impress that certain man, you know, they say there's a lid for every pot. Sometimes that lid can only be opened with an axe. And Bennett found, and this is, I think this is exciting stuff.
Yeah, this is good.
Axe throwing, right? This is as ancient sure. and as and wonderful as probably rock throwing, right? As soon as somebody threw a rock a long time ago, a caveman, and then somebody came up with an axe and one-upped him. And now we're doing that in the West Loop. So we're going to talk all about axe throwing with the guys over at, it's an indoor facility. Let's see, what is the, it's called Bad Axe Throwing?
Bad Axe Throwing.
I think a clever play on words right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, well, those are the things we're going to talk about. So we've got a lot of stuff going on today. We'll talk about potentially breaking up relationships, breaking up with some of our favorite Cubs, all that, and much more. We'll be right back here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it is Dane Neal here, Allstate Showcase Studio, right on Michigan Avenue, a snow-free, from what I can see, Michigan Avenue, but come Sunday, we are going to have 10 to 12 inches of snow. It makes you think, you know, this is Chicago's the greatest sports town, it may be the greatest food town, architecture, we've got it all, but they've always said, right, if Chicago just had better weather, it would be overrun with a lot of people, probably we wouldn't want to have around, but it is good to get out. And get away from it now and then. And so 312-981-7200, you can go ahead and weigh in throughout the course of the program with where you would rather be. Ron, it looks as though you would rather be in Key West. Welcome to WGN.
Exactly, Dane. I was telling your producer that I've been to La Jolla, by the way. That's in the San Diego area. They actually have a great climate, pretty much in the 70s on the average all year round.
Right.
And, of course, I've been all over Florida, but I'm a big Key West guy. And here's something, a little bit of trivia that a lot of people don't know about Key West. I used to work for an airline, so I know a lot about various climates and cities. Key West, and I don't know the exact temperature, but Key West has never gotten to 100. I think the highest they ever got is like about 95, 96. Since the Weather Service is, you know, in the 100 years or so of keeping official records. And as far as the coldest they've ever gotten is they've never gotten below like around 42, 43. In other words, they've never gotten to the 30s in Key West.
Wow.
So talk about, yeah. So, and also one last trivia question, although it's a small city, it is the warmest in terms of average city temperature in the United States.
Wow!
Oh, and I thought you're all the that's all the California cities. That's all the Arizona and Texas, and of course, so Key West is the place to be if you like warm weather.
Well, and warm and welcoming. It's a festive environment. I've seen some pictures, so people know how to have a good time there. Of course, you got the history. You know, isn't that the Hemingway Museum and all that kind
exactly.
of
exactly. And of course, their big thing there too is of course the whole shipwreck. You know, that I think that guy Mel Fisher, I believe, has a museum there, and
yes, treasure.
The treasure, and of course, Audubon, the guy that with the birds, I can't think of his first name. Audubon did a lot of research down there. It's just a very great. Some people either like Key West or they don't. You know, it's kind of like it's almost kind of like a stigma of New Orleans. You know, either you like it or you don't, so to speak. But I'll tell you, the facts I made, you can check that with Tom Skilling. Yeah, they are by capita the warmest city in the United States.
Hey, Ron.
Trust me, I'd love to be there.
Ron, of course, as you know, we have a hotline to Tom Skilling right now. So, Tom, what are your thoughts on Key West?
Well, of course, it's one of the warmer areas in the United States of America. If you get outside in the Chicago area, it won't be anywhere near like it is in Key West year-round, but... As Rod pointed out, it's one of the great cities of the U.S. of A., and you want to get down there whenever you get a chance to do that, especially when the weather's as nasty as it's going to be this weekend.
There you go, Ron. You heard it here.
Exactly. And one last thing, by the way, you can have a Sloppy Joe at Sloppy Joe's, and that's where Hemingway used to hang out at.
That's it. Right. Well, casual comfort food in a tropical perfect. Setting. You can't beat it. And Hemingway, of course, was known for imbibing, so you can have a couple cocktails as well. Thanks, Ron. That's a great suggestion.
Take care. I'm going to be listening. Take care.
All right. He's going to be listening, so we know. But here's the thing that you think about is some of these places, we get over 100 degrees here on a pretty regular basis.
Well, at least a couple times a summer we get near it.
But places like Hawaii, you know, it's like 78 to 82. You know, you look at, you know, La Jolla or that San Diego area, it's it doesn't get very cold and it doesn't get very hot. So you don't have that whole humid thing. You mentioned Florida in general. There's parts of Florida. I know that my in-laws live in kind of the Ocala, Orlando area, and it's kind of nice a lot of the year. It certainly doesn't get as unpleasant winter-wise as it does here, but there's a lot of time where it's just really hot.
Well, the humidity is really the thing that, takes over there, and that's, you know, you get up to 98 and 100% humidity. That's a little bit rough to handle. You're inside a lot of times when it gets that hot out. So, but I love Florida. I mean, and if I could find a job there, I might be out here next week.
What? Who is this person talking to? 312-981-7200. That's the cold.
So long, everybody.
That was the Rob Martyr forecast, Colin. But you know what? People travel for a bunch of different reasons. Sometimes for career. Sometimes because it's just, you know, it sucks to shovel snow. And then sometimes they'll do it for love. Right, and you talk about Key West. It is a festive environment.
Sunset, it's beautiful, and the beaches, and you know Jimmy Buffett. You know
Jimmy Buffet,
James Buffet, always talking about how great Key West is. So, you know, it's fantastic. And you know, I think the next time I get down there for an extended period of time, I may have to take the drive and check it out because I've never been there.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, I've heard it's fantastic. So
it is the kind of place, and Ron kind of mentioned it, sort of along the lines of New Orleans, where I don't know how it would be if you spent more than, you know, a handful of days there. I don't know if you could just be there
to live there
all the time, you know, unless you're a t-shirt salesman or you're running a cruise ship. No, I mean that because
surf shop or something. Yeah.
It's sort of kind of a
touristy thing.
Disneyland town situation where, you know, you'd feel like the circus was moving in and out and it's kind of like, you know, all the transient.
Here comes the next set of tourists coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But either way, people go and move and change for a bunch of different reasons. And, you know, some of that, and you mentioned, of course, Jimmy Buffet with all of those famous love songs, and of course Tony Orlando and Dawn, the tie a yellow ribbon,
knock three times. Yeah.
So all the things that are out there on the technology side, sites to help you find that certain special someone, are out there now. I know in the next segment we're going to be talking with author Shira Block about her new book, Limerence, and it kind of investigates a lot of those issues on the relationship side, and then does delve into a little bit of the current kind of cutting edge stuff that's going on. And so, do you know your thoughts on this? I mean, you're a single guy out there in the world, and there are these different, there's so many of them now, you know, whether it's Match.com or eHarmony, and the commercials come on and they do a lot of the things that normally would just be, I guess, traditionally left to chance, right? You know, when you're down on, if you're at Mother's, you know, at 3 a.m., are you linking up 29 little points of compatibility? I don't know.
No, probably not. And there's not a lot of questions. There's not a whole lot of questions going back and forth at that time.
because the music's so loud.
Well, exactly.
No, but so, and I know you've participated in some of those sites, and basically that's what it is. Like, who, especially when you get to be an adult and you got your work, and so you just don't have time to go hang out. I don't even know how you would do it. I mean, how did people meet in the past? Was it grocery stores? We joked about, you know, some small talk about like, hey, like, how can you tell if this is right? And then you strike up a conversation and then you take it from there. But this allows you to, I guess, weed out a lot of people that wouldn't be good for you.
You know, and I've had, you know, some successes and some not so successful. And to me, I mean, it simplifies everything because it's right there in front of you to look at. And, you know, if you can cut through the all the red tape to, you know, when it comes to questions and get right into a conversation, that to me, that's the, you know, the best way to do it. You know, like eHarmony is one where they've got all these questions and compatibility and all the rest of it. I'm more meat and potatoes. I mean, once I find, you know, something that I like, I'd rather just start talking or texting or starting some kind of a dialogue at that point. Otherwise, you know, it's just, to me, it's just a lot of it's just a waste of time.
Some of it is general, right? You have all those different things, and it could be general people. Some is specific to certain interests that you know are not negotiable, like Farmers Only or Christian Mingle. Or
Packer fan.
There probably is. 312-981-7200. If you have some experience with this, you can definitely text in and call in. We're going to talk with Shira Block after the break. And then just a word from the 312. Tony Orlando was at the Blackhawks game. I don't know. If,
he was tying a yellow ribbon tonight right at the game. Well, he's in town doing a, I think he's got a show this week.
Doing an all Tony Orlando show.
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll send it to news. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Country love song. Every town and every place. There's a boy who's trying to take a chance and dance and find a way to run away with her heart. In the back of an old Ford truck. In the bar just looking for love.
Yeah, 720 WGN, Daniel in for Patty here on Pretty Late. Tino Tiberi to my right, Bennett in the booth playing. You see, we've got a diverse musical repertoire here,
no
right?
question. That's I like that song. I don't know what it, I'm not familiar with this first time I heard it, but it sounded pretty good.
Anytime you can reference fireworks and love in a Ford trunk in the same, you know, 30 seconds, you know you're...
Well, you know you're listening to a quality country music song right there.
You're on the right track, right? There's like a bullet points. You got to get these in here, otherwise it doesn't qualify.
Exactly.
The... regardless of where you're from, you know, in 38 states in Canada, WGN hits on a nightly basis, and lots of people from lots of different walks of life. What is the one thing everybody, you know, has in common? Don't say food, Dino. I know that's the truth, but also a desire for love and relationships. And in this day and age, things have changed a little bit, but also so many things remain the same. And this is a little bit of a stretch for us because we don't get into the romance novel talk as often as maybe we should. But I know that it's big out there.
No better time to start than right now, Dane.
That's right. On the line with us, we have Shira Block. She is the author of Limerence. She is a master's in psychology and counseling, an accomplished lecturer, writer, personal coach. She's the author of The Way Home, Step-by-Step Miracles, A Practical Guide to Achieving Your Dreams, and the co-author of When Your Parents Move In, Every Adult Child's Guide to Living with an Aging Parent. We got to get that. She conducts workshops and seminars nationwide and helps people build healthy relationships and resolve family issues. And now she has written something a little racier, right, for her public that demands it. On the line is Shira Block. Shira, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. So you look at the stuff that you do, helping people on a regular basis with relationships in general, relationships with their family, you know, and with their friends and loved ones. And then you go ahead and you write this book, Limerence. So let's talk a little bit about the inspiration. It's a fiction book, and it's you know, pulled from the headlines of some of the most popular things going on there with like 50 Shades of Grey. But you're building in a lot of the kind of current things on the dating scene on technology.
Right. Well, first of all, Limerence is a psychological drama. And it's based on a main character who actually suffers from the condition called limerence. It's a psychological diagnosis. It's an obsessive-compulsive disorder, but having to do with love, not necessarily washing your hands. And so this book chronicles the life of someone who does suffer from this obsessive-compulsive disorder and how it affects her life and how she works with it and how it affects her marriage.
Well, one of the interesting things is you bring kind of the sensibilities and that perspective as a therapist from that side of it and bring that into it, because a lot of people, you look at these situations and of course, the kind of lead character in the story, Jackie, it seems like everything's fine. She's got the perfect life. Why would she want or need for more? But like you said, it's a condition, and you approach it and help people kind of understand that as they're being entertained.
Well, one thing is, you know, I did create a book that would be a fast beach read type of book, but it really is layered with a lot of important information as far as I see it. And I've pulled together my 25 years as a counselor to add the information to it. There's this old adage that says we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Meaning that we go through life making choices and decisions and evaluating people's behavior based on our own patterns and our own beliefs about the world. And this is part of what Jackie experiences as well.
Well, I know that, you know, and there's also, you know, confidentiality, but you have your clients, you have people that you talk with, that you share solutions, and as they share some of their issues, problems, and challenges. So did you know, at least some elements of this come from some of the therapy sessions? Were you able to pull either ways that you help people or things that you've learned?
Absolutely. And I'm in the novel. My husband's in the novel. My clients are in the novel. No one will be able to look at it and say, oh, that's me. But there are components of it that we all do, and we all play out issues in the same way. I mean, if someone could look at a 16-year-old and say, oh, just date nice people. And they say, what a great idea. That would make life really. But that's not how it works. People play out their issues usually through adversity until they figure out the right way. And so there's not one client in here or one person who's going to screech and say, oh, no, it's me. But everyone who reads this, who's ever been emotionally cheated on, or who's ever done emotional cheating, or who's ever dated, will say, oh, I see myself in that.
Well, let the listeners know we're talking with Shira Black. She is the author of Limerence. And so you're bringing a little bit of awareness, I think, to some of it, because limerence itself, like you said, it's a condition. It's something that people have. It isn't just the title of the book. And also catfishing is brought up in there. So explain what that is for our vast listening audience that is unaware, just so when they see it and maybe experience it, they'll know.
All right. Unfortunately, catfishing is pretty common in the cyber dating world. What it is when someone creates a false persona to lure someone in or to get something they want, or simply for entertainment reasons. So imagine you see a personal ad, or not, they don't do personal ads anymore, I just gave my age away. You're doing some.
We both relate to that, though. So
I know. You're doing some online dating, and you start talking to someone, and it just seems either too good to be true, or you never get together, or something seems odd, and he asks for money, or she asks for money. That's what a catfish does. They lure you in. In fact, my 80-year-old grandmother fell for it about 10 years ago. Someone called her and said he would manage her money for her.
Oh, boy.
And you know how the story ends.
Her money's all gone, and so is he.
No, I hope the story ends with Shira weighing in, her mom talk, because they talk, right? And
sure.
Then you give her advice saying, that just sounds too good to be true, let's not do that. Is that what happened?
Well, imagine talking to a 16-year-old and saying, don't do that. That's a bad idea. Don't date him. And that's what we said to our grandmother, and it's like, no, he's a nice man.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what catfishing is. And there's a lot of women and a lot of clients that I have who had been lured in. Maybe it wasn't as extreme, but maybe the person was married. Maybe they had a false Facebook account. There's so many things that happen in this cyber dating world that it's always good to be vigilant. And there's so many red flags if you're just aware of them.
Yeah, well, and now since the dating world has become so sort of diversified, where people are kind of putting out and signing up for things, specific things that they want in whoever is going to be that certain special someone. You know, Bennett pinned out a list of a bunch of different sites, way more than I thought would exist. But you've got like farmersonly.com. And so you're saying someone who may not be a farmer at all, you know, maybe
he's pretending he's a farmer.
Maybe they're like an inner city shopkeeper or something. And then they're implying that they've got an agricultural background. That's catfishing.
I had a picture of him on a tractor.
That's a mild form of catfishing where nobody truly gets hurt. But there are definitely red flags if you're dating someone who you're talking to someone online who doesn't appear to who doesn't turn out to be who you think they're going to be. There's always a red flag.
We're letting the listeners know we're talking with Shira Black. She's the author of Limerence. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the book, the places you can get it, a little bit more about the characters in there. And, of course, since you're a therapist, for the listeners, some advice in the current and online dating world. 312-981-7200. You can text in or you can call in some of those questions. We'll be right back. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. It's a Motown love. 720 WGN. Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in for Patty until 2 a.m. And we are talking the treacherous but often rewarding, many times challenging world of love and the pursuit of it.
All of the above.
Of it, yes. On the line with us, we've got author of the new book, Limerence, Shira Block. Shira, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you.
You know, we're looking through some of the sites, and Bennett had printed out some of them, and some are ones you know and are familiar with, you know, your eHarmony and your Match.com. But then some, I think, offer the opportunity for people to really specialize in what it is that they're looking for. Ashley Madison is one that is listed here.
Yeah.
Members are matched with other married adult members based on profiles. Is that like a mutual catfishing kind of situation?
Well, that's not catfishing at all.
All right.
People know exactly what they're going to get.
So you know,
I feel bad for the wife or the spouse who's home and doesn't know that their spouse is on a website like that.
That's terrible. That is terrible. Well, and here's the other one too: is you know that oftentimes on the political landscape, it's a highly charged situation, whether it's those you know, late night rallies or whether those you know, canvassing the neighborhoods, you know, getting to know people as you walk around trying to convince people of the validity of your particular candidate. There's Bernie Singles. .com. It's a dating website for users who share an interest in American politicians.
Bernie Sanders.
You know,
I'm interested in Bernie, and now I'm interested in you.
Right. You wonder those conversations, though, Shira, is that, you know, how long can that go? I mean, where it's just like, hey, can we talk about something else? I mean, Bernie's great, but.
Well, I guess people are really feeling the burn. I don't know what else to say about that.
See, but that's where you come in to help them on the therapy side, because I'm sure there are many clients who come in depressed and sad. You know, based on the current state of the Bernie campaign, and you can kind of talk them out of it and then steer them towards love.
Well, you know, wouldn't that be wonderful if it were so? You know, love is a complicated thing. Even in my book, I wrap things up nicely, but that's not how it tends to go in real life. If the people around the election were building their hopes and dreams on whatever the result of the election was and they didn't get it, it's not just the loss of their candidate. It was the expectation or the hope of something different. It's almost like they put their future, you know, their future happiness in something that was unpredictable.
So in the book, Limerence is, of course, the name of the book. The author, Shira Block, is on the line with us. You're able to write it however you want. So you can kind of share some of the symptoms and some of the situations that you right. might find yourself in. And then you can tie it all up nice in a bow and maybe give a potential, you know, resolution scenario. But for listeners out there that maybe find themselves either in a situation like this or contemplating it, what kind of advice can you give them?
All right, so I'll do a real brief what happened to the main character. She was feeling, as you said in the beginning, she had pretty much everything, you know, husband, home, children, but she was feeling unfulfilled. And so what she did, she took a job as a phone sex operator. It was an odd job, and it was a secret, but she did it in order to feel special. Her issue kicked in the moment one of her clients, which is the first page of the book, hung up on her. Now, her self-esteem was tied to feeling special through her clients, so as soon as he hung up, her own feelings came rushing out. She placed her result on this guy. She has to get him to like her, or else her world would crumble. In the real world, it's unlikely that your listeners would be looking to fulfill a need based on, you know, having a job like a phone sex operator. But what happens is people get crushes or people get fixations on people who may not be available. It's why people fall in love with someone they just spoke to on the phone a couple times. Or I've heard clients say, well, I think I met the one. We haven't met yet in person, but we've emailed a lot, and I know we have a lot in common. Not everyone will be suffering from limerence, but what it is they have this deep, profound need for connection, and they place it on something, anything, without looking at what they're placing it on.
Well, Shira, and you see those kind of situations where, you know, something that's a little bit, you know, almost unattainable or playing hard to get, or some of those things can almost be more desirable, right? Because it's a challenge.
It can be more desirable until you're ready to find true connection and commitment. If you're really looking for a spouse and the person you're really interested in is married, my first question will be, do you really want the spouse, or do you want the feeling of connection? Do you want the learning, the yearning? Do you want the adrenaline rush? Because a person who's truly ready for partnership usually finds someone who is truly ready for partnership. I think like attracts likes, frankly.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the thing, and I think you hit on it there, too, is that there's all these different things you can be attracted to or that you can like it. You know, some of those things aren't necessarily compatible with long-term happiness or even success on the relationship side. With so many different choices, whether it's BernieSingles.com or FarmersOnly.com or any of the ones out there, and I think there's probably one for anybody, is... And of course, you've got your own personal experience with your family member. What advice could you give to the listeners if they're going to kind of do that online? And it seems to be the way to go. There's certainly a lot of avenues, but try to find that special someone online. Are there some kind of do's and don'ts? And what would your advice be there?
All right, so I'll go with the don'ts first, which are really easy. If you're speaking to someone who feels that they've instantly fallen in love with you and you've had one conversation, that's a red flag. That's the potential that this person is putting their relationship desire on you, or they've got something nefarious in mind. If you're talking to someone and 3 weeks go by and he's never or she's never making plans to get together, there's always a reason. Something's fishy there, too. If worst-case scenario, he's married or he's not who he says he is, best-case scenario, he's just too busy for you. If you're interested in a relationship and the person is putting up roadblocks, find somebody else. The do's are be honest about who you are and be ready to give what you're asking for. If you're someone who likes to sit on the sofa and eat potato chips,
yes.
Don't look for, you know, the Olympic athlete. Look for who you can be compatible with, whose lifestyle is similar. We'd all love to fall in love with someone who's a mega millionaire, but if that's what you're looking for, don't expect that person to fall in love with you when you're looking for that person's money.
Shira, what about opposites attract? Is there any validity in that, or is that just something that's just a phrase out there for people to justify things that are, I guess, wrong?
No, it does. Opposites can absolutely attract, but not when it comes to lifestyle choices. You can be different in looks, you can be different in socioeconomic levels, you can be different in education. But when it comes to what you expect from partnership, my belief over the 25 years that I've met with some happy and some unhappy couples is lifestyle choices have to be similar.
You know what? Here's the thing, too, is as I am surprised when I hear those statistics, whether it's the IRS call that says, you know, go to Target and get some gift cards and, you know, and pay me, you know, or any of the things that seem to work, or the people that call up the grandma and say that they're their grandson and they're stranded in Italy and they need you to wire them some money. I guess these things work. And on the relationship side, what you're saying, too, is some of these things that seem a little bit crazy. If it's, you know, the Nigerian prince who wants to be, he's got a lot of money and he wants to give it to you, but
you have to pay up to get that.
Well,
money.
He needs your banking information,
right,
Dino, so he can deposit it properly. So if any of those crazy things happen, if it doesn't seem like common sense, normal things are available, whether it's in that relationship or getting together, you should worry about it.
You should. When we talk about it, it seems, well, of course, but imagine you have a black hole in your life and you're aching and yearning for a connection and you feel that someone might offer that. It's very easy to fool yourself and say, maybe this Nigerian prince really does want to send me money.
Why not?
Hey, I'd buy it.
I mean, that's you know, come on. He's the prince, right? You know, what's
he's got to have cash.
So,
and he wouldn't lie.
No, he would never. He would never lie. Well, his grammar is bad. I know that's all right. So the book is Limerence. The author, of course, Shira Block. Shira, before we let you go, let us know the website where they can find out more information about all the things you have going on and how they can get the book.
Well, you can look at my website at shirablock.com, shirablock.com, or you can look at my author page at Facebook. You can also go on any online retailer for it or any walk-in bookstore and order it.
Well, Shira, it's entertaining stuff. Encourage people to get out there and check out the book and, of course, some great life lessons for all of us. So thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. See, that's it. We're going to talk more about that. 312-981-7200. Sites that you're using in order to find that special someone. We had someone from, I think the 312 said farmersonly.com, brought them together, and they are together to this day and married. So if you've got a story like that, you can weigh in with it as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll send it to news. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal in for Patty until 2 a.m. for Pretty Late. And we're talking a little bit of love, 312-981-7200, how you can get together, find people that have things in common. We heard from Shira. She said, you know, the opposite attract, sure, it happens, right? But also, if you can find things in, you know, that you may have in common with other people, regardless of what it is, whether it's, you know, the kind of food you like, the activities you like, the general lifestyle, sports,
Yeah, I
think, axe throwing.
particularly axe throwing. I'm interested to find out what that's all about. I've been on these sites, you know, in the past, and that's one of the things you look for. Exactly what you said, things in common, things that you know you can build off of to start the conversation, and you know, as you get to know the person more, you know, hopefully things work out. And you know, there's a lot of success stories out there. You know, it's crash and burn sometimes, but you know, in order to get to where you want to go, sometimes you have to go through some things that aren't so good to get to something that really works out.
And be honest with yourself. If you really love axe throwing, you need to be upfront with that. You need to share that with that, because maybe you find the perfect someone, right? And then I know what you're thinking, Dana. You're thinking, so let's say you found that perfect certain someone who loves to throw axes just as much as you do, and you're thinking, well, where are you going
to
do it?
Yeah, where could I take that to the next level?
Right.
It turns out there's somewhere here in Chicago where you can.
Just another reason why Chicago is the best city, not only the side of the Pecos, but on the planet. And on the line with us, we have Julian Ratowski from Bad Axe Throwing. Julian, welcome to WGN.
Thank you guys for having me. It's great to be here.
So this is not your everyday activity. You know, it's not. Here's the kind of thing it is, because you've got something that is a utilitarian item, and people use it to, I guess, chop down trees or battle fires. You know, what are the traditional uses for the axe? I think maybe hunting back in the past, but now you've turned it into something that is entertaining. People are coming together and they're doing it right there in the West Loop.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different from the average event or date night spot that you might think about going to.
Well, so here's the other part of it, and let the listeners know we're talking with Julian Ratowski from Bad Axe Throwing. Is unlike, let's say, pool or darts or other kind of social activities that people, or maybe skeet shooting, right? People have seen it on television. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that maybe you're not only giving them a kind of a venue to do it, but you're also kind of teaching, right? You're educating on what it is and how to do it.
Yeah. So the best part about our what we do here is not only, like you said, we provide a venue, a space where you can throw axes both safely and comfortably, but we also do a lot of coaching. And that's one of the main things that we do. Every group that comes in here, every person, they get their own personalized coaching from us. We've all got extensive experience throwing axes, maybe not beforehand, before we joined the company, but as soon as we join in, we get a lot of good training. We really get good at it, and we get even better at teaching people how to throw.
Now, Julian, you said that when you come into the company, maybe this is because it's just not the thing that everybody does. Is that maybe this would be your first introduction to axe throwing? What does that want ad read like?
Is it want to blow off a little steam?
Like to throw axes? Now, how did that work? Like, how did you get involved with the company?
Well, for me, it was I was working another job, and I kind of just, you know, driving to work, heard on the radio that Bad Axe was coming to Chicago, and I thought, you know, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. Never really chopped any wood before, but, you know, I might want to try my hand at throwing some axes. So I just went to the website, checked it out, saw, you know, okay, this Canadian company coming into Chicago, this is going to be their first location. They might need a guy, you know, on the ground to do something if they don't already have one. And then it just kind of spitballed from there, and I was fortunate to be able to get a job here, and I've been loving the job ever since. It's, you know, extremely rewarding as well as just being fun.
Now, did you have any experience throwing other things, you know, where it was like, oh, hey, I'm, you know,
knives or
shot puts? I mean, was there anything else that you thought, hey, I would be good at this? Or did you just say, hey, this sounds like fun, and maybe you've watched a little bit of the outdoor games on ESPN8, the Ocho, you know, and then you're like, okay, let's do this?
I'd probably say a little bit of both. I've always been an active person. I did play baseball growing up, so I've thrown a couple things here and there, but I don't know if that necessarily helped me at all. Sometimes it's better to come into things as a blank slate. And I definitely had some things that were habits from baseball that I had to kind of change up, but it was a pretty quick transition. When you're learning axe throwing, it's one of those things that you get real quick feedback on whether you're doing it right or wrong. And it's pretty easy to correct after you get some proper coaching and realize what it is you're doing wrong.
So, Julian, just out of curiosity, then, you know, you bring people in. Do you have, like, leagues where you compete against one another? Or do you have, obviously, I haven't seen the website yet, but I'm definitely going to check it out. Is there equipment that they need to bring in, or are you just, like you say, a blank canvas, even for the people that have never done it before to come in, and you guys coach them and tell them, man, this is what you need to do, this is what you need. Mm-hmm. Are there, like, gloves that you need to buy, or there's certain equipment and stuff?
No gloves needed, no.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So there's a couple things that we do. We specialize primarily in doing event hosting. So that means anything from bachelorette parties, corporate events, birthday parties, even just groups of friends coming in and wanting to throw around. That's a large part of our business here. We also do have an axe throwing league. We actually just finished up this week our first axe throwing league, and we had about 50 people in that group, maybe a little bit more than 50 actually, who ended up participating in one, you know, 8-week season that culminated in a giant bracket style playoff.
Is there like a championship cup they win at the end, or an axe that they get?
It's like a stump.
Hatchet, yes.
They get a championship hatchet.
Golden hatchet.
Yeah. Nice wooden engraved wooden handle with a little detailing on the blade as well. It was actually a really cool piece to get done.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, Julian, one of the things we've been talking about, it's kind of a common thing throughout the program, is, you know, relationships and finding love and, you know, having things in common. And you know, and as you have been doing this, let's say you meet people or you talk to people just in general, and you explain that you're an axe thrower, is like, what is that? Because, I mean, do you have to have a long kind of explanation for it, or no, it's okay, or I'm in a league, you know, there's some organization there, not just crazily, you know, throwing the axe in your basement. How do people perceive it? What's it been like as far as feedback?
Well, usually when I tell people about my job here, there's two responses. It's either the people who've already heard about us here and they're like, oh, wow, that's really cool. You're one of those axe throwing guys. Or then there's the other people who just kind of give you the blank stare and what? Think that you're kind of, you know, pulling their leg and just trying to give them a fake job or a fake title of what you do.
That's
either way,
real.
Both are actually extremely satisfying and kind of funny to run with.
Okay, so explain how people can participate. Exciting to have here in Chicago, the first location in the United States for bad axe throwing. So explain what people can do, and then what kind of memberships. I mean, do you come in? And because here's the thing, it's not like going to the gym. You figure, hey, let's do this, you know, a few days a week, and you do, you know, half an hour of cardio. Is there kind of a plan where you say, this is our starter kit as far as like activities? You know, because this is like, you mentioned a blank slate. It is. I don't know even what to do.
Yeah, so there's really three options that any person can kind of do if they want to get in and start axe throwing. So the first, as I mentioned before, was setting up a group event. And any of these options, you can get more information just on our website. So that's badaxethrowing.com. We have all the information on there, as well as how to book any of these or when to come in and how it works. But so one of the ways is just group events. Another thing that we do that I also mentioned was our league nights. So that's going to be starting back up this January. That's going to be our second league. And that runs about 8 weeks, 7 weeks of regular season where you come in. Typically, we'll have one or two nights a week set up for the league. About a 2.5-hour block, you'll come in, you'll get some throws, you'll hang out with a bunch of soon-to-be axe-throwing buddies, and you just keep doing that for 2 months until the playoffs. That's a great way if you want to get a lot of axe-throwing in and you really want to see your skills progress. You'll definitely be able to track that over 2 months. And then the final way that you can just come in and get a chance, if you just want to check it out, you know, maybe on an individual basis or with a smaller group of pals, is we do have walk-in hours. Typically on a weekly basis, it's on a rotating schedule. It kind of depends on availability with our coaches as well as lanes that we have here. But that information can also be found on a weekly basis on our website as well. And that's just where you come in, you pay for a certain amount of time to come and throw, you get some coaching as well, we'll teach you, and then you can kind of rock and roll from there.
Just one other question regarding the actual league itself. You know, like darts, you have a dartboard you throw at. What are you, when you're throwing the axes, where are you throwing them to?
Yeah, is there like a set format to it? Is there a certain distance that is standard? And then also, too, kind of off of Dino's question, is the axe like the same kind of axe you'd get at, you know, Cabela's? Or because, you know, when knife throwing, they're different. They don't really look like just your, you know, it's a steak knife or something. What does it look like as far as the equipment?
Yeah, so for the axe itself, it's not a specific what you call a tactical axe or a type of throwing axe, something that you get that seems really kind of crazy in one end of the spectrum. It's more of a general purpose, smaller axe or tomahawk. It's got a little bit of heft to it, kind of in that perfect balance point where it's, you know, got enough weight where it's a little bit forgiving, but at the same time, it's not too heavy where it's unmanageable for any one person to throw. As far as the lanes themselves, you'll be throwing at our own wooden targets that we made on site and we have attached to our walls. And the distance that people throw from is 14 feet. That's what we found is both the perfect distance to throw from for how we teach people to throw axes, as well as making sure that everything's safe and, you know, everything's good to go.
Safety, but then also the excitement of throwing an axe. I don't think there's anything quite like it. It's probably one of those experiences you have to do to fully appreciate. And once you do it once, boom, you're in a league and you're throwing axes on a regular basis. So, Julian, give the information out for the listeners. So if this is something that they want to do, they can get out there and see you and then do some safe and exciting axe throwing.
Yeah, if you guys want to come out and try some axe throwing, the best way is to just go to our website. So that's, once again, badaxethrowing.com. From there, you can find any of the information that you need, as well as a phone number or email that you can book through.
Badaxethrowing.com, Julian Ratowski. You'll see him there, as well as the, you know, the axes, you know, and axe throwing buddies that you're going to meet.
And all the axe coaches that'll be out.
Yeah.
Ready to help you.
It sounds cool. I think it's just another great thing about Chicago, some cool stuff that you can do, not only as part of the league, but also, like you said, special events, bachelor parties, drinking in moderation, of course, while you're throwing the axes, sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, actually, to clarify one thing there, we are not BYOB. But at the same time, I think it's a great way to start your day and then continue on going from there after you get a little bit of excitement.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so you're just drinking in the adrenaline. That's what you're doing. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for sharing that. And get out there and throw some axes.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Julian.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there'll be more. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue, the pre-blizzard Michigan Avenue. 10 to 12 inches coming up, a little more if you're to the north.
Less if you're to the south.
A little, yes, look just at that. Like those are weather instincts, you know, you've got them.
Well, I always wanted to be a weather guesser.
Weather guesser, that's the best job.
You're wrong most of the time, and you're still able to keep doing your job.
You know, I talked to some weathermen over the years, and you wonder, like, this is, you know, and Tom Skilling, of course, we're blessed to have him here in the WGN family, and he is the best. And, you know, he is called on a regular basis because, you know, we may not have, you know, the best weather, but we probably have the most interesting weather. We certainly, you know, we don't maybe have hurricanes or tornadoes on a regular basis, but we do have a nice diversity of weather as opposed to
San Diego.
Like, or
it's,
if you're like
75
the Phoenix,
and sunny again.
Phoenix, Arizona guy, he just makes sure that he's, you know, he probably just records five, you know, just so he can have different ties on, right? And then he just play the Tuesday one.
Same thing in certain parts of Florida when it rains every day. Chance of rain, then sunny.
And that's it.
That's it. Hot and humid. Well, back tomorrow.
It's tough. It's tough on the weather. 312-981-7200. People can call in or text in with the place that they would rather be other than Chicago. Now, Dino, you and our other theme has been kind of the, you know, the online dating side. Have you ever thought of or considered moving someplace? I know you love Chicago, right? I love Chicago, too. I love this area for so many different reasons, obviously friends and family. And
so much to do. So, and you the know, Cubs. Families here, the Cubs, of course. You know, technology the way it is now, you're able to watch that stuff pretty much anywhere. But nothing like going. You can't go to Wrigley Field if you're not here.
And it's getting Wrigley Field is getting nicer and nicer. A little bit after the news break, we're going to talk with one of our sports guys, our great sports guy, Sam Panionovich, talking about the landscape of sports and kind of the Cubs situation. And this is the kind of thing where I don't know. There's sort of a Zen calm that's kind of fallen over me personally as a Cub fan, where I'm okay with whatever, really, because, you know, the Cubs have won the World Series. And so you can lose players that you really like, you know, but you want to feel good for them. I don't know. This whole Cardinal thing with Dexter Fowler is a little bit unsettling.
There's been a lot of angst out there on social media. I've been on Twitter, you know, I was on Twitter earlier tonight just reading some of the comments, and people are just, you know, they're all mad at Dexter because he's called him a traitor and all the rest of this stuff. It's like he helped lead your team to the World Series that you haven't won in 108 years. The Cubs obviously didn't have him as a priority on their radar to come bring him back.
I'm sure.
So go out and get the money you can get.
Yes.
You know what? You deserve it. even if it happens to be at, you know, going to the Cardinals, which is, you know, the rival of the Cubs, you know, I can't fault him for that. He's got to go where he's going to get paid.
So all you're saying is once that contract is guaranteed, that you're just hoping for you know, a non-career threatening but nagging injury. Right?
I personally am, that is not what I want. The people on social media, a lot of them, yes, they're hoping that he has a you know, his career goes in the toilet. And that, you know, he's just, not figuratively, but I mean, you know, they don't want him to, because they don't want the Cardinals to have success. His success apparently translates into their success. So
I feel a little
bit.
They
have a lot more holes to fill besides Dexter Fowler. Let's make that clear, first of all.
And the Cubs are responsible for some of those holes. My first inclination was, and of course, he was very valuable for that rain delay pep talk in the locker room, but I was saying, you know, not Dexter. Let's just give them Jason Hayward back. You know, and we can just just give him.
Yeah, can we give him the $184 million? Get that back too. Somehow. Right? He's, you know, it's just one of those things. People turn on the guy. It's like, it's not fair. You get your money where you get your money. St. Louis just happened to be, you know, a fit for him, and they needed a guy to fill their leadoff spot. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, that's what it is. Now you just have to get them out. The rest of the guys and him out. When they play each other during the season.
One of the nicest guys on the team, a real class act, and this is the kind of thing that you hoped for. Because remember, just the fact that he was here was based on his inability to secure a long-term deal that he really wanted from another team. And so he came here, and you know, I know he would say that he's, you know, the luckiest guy in the world to be able to be part of that team, be such a big, important part of that team, and really raise his value, because not only did he get to win a World Series and become, you know, what will be a legendary sports team, you know, forever, right? But also he was able to kind of make that case on a national stage for his value, and it's $80 million.
Oh, right. It's, and, you know, like I said, St. Louis had a need. You know, he didn't really get out and talk to other teams. I guess Toronto was in the mix, but they, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't follow through because maybe they had some, you know, questions about certain things. You know, he's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 soon. You know, maybe they didn't want to give him a 5-year contract like the Cardinals did. And
yeah, the Cardinals got to see him up close and personal throughout the course.
They had some kind of a statistic today that he's hit more home runs leading off against the Cardinals. They showed a bunch of them on, I saw a bunch of them on YouTube. I was like, wow, he did have a lot of home runs against St. Louis. And so, I mean, you know, just like the Cubs did last year, they took a few away from St. Louis, and now one of theirs is going to St. Louis. So, it just, now you got to do the job without him.
We've seen the way that the Cardinal fans, you know, have, and not all, you don't want to paint with a broad brush, but this could be one of those, you know, kind of high road teachable moments, because notoriously, like, nasty, when Jason Hayward came here.
Oh, yeah, it got ugly. Well, we talked about it last year on the air. I remember when they got him, we had that discussion about how they literally just turned on him like he never played for them.
Yeah. I think predominantly, though, the Cub fans are excited. They are happy about, obviously, the World Series, and excited for Dexter and excited for his success. It is well deserved. When you talk about home runs from Dexter Fowler, I'm not sure if you'll remember a certain one, maybe number 13, that landed out in the bleachers in the hands of one me, right?
at a game that you
provided the ticket for. So thank you, Dino. That's my Dexter Fowler moment. All right, right now it is 12:30. It is news time. Here's Roger. Oh, you're going to take a break? Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll send it to news. It's Dane on 720 WGN. Shut, 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 720 WGN. Dane in for Patty on pretty late until 2 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right. Bennett Wake Knight in the booth.
Is that Skrillex?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think who that is. I know I've heard that
Bennett,
song
musical
before,
selection.
Bennett.
You have been all over the board. The musical landscape
is
vast and diverse.
Bennett, who was that?
This is the Gorillaz.
Gorillaz, that's it. Close.
You know, this is off their one album, the good one.
I actually have it on a playlist. I'm like, what? Well, I heard this song before.
Okay, well, I'm out as far as I can. I'm not familiar with it. I don't have
Gorillaz right.
music as I should. I should, but it was good. I thought it was catchy. It was good. I could dance to it.
Sure.
I don't even dance. Come on.
Wait a minute. What number? What would you give it?
Well, is it just Smash
on
and
the
Trash?
Dance floor.
Or do I have
American
to have,
Bandstand?
Didn't they go up to like 100, Roger?
Was it a 10-point must system?
I think it was a 10. Yeah.
A
it
10?
Was, yeah, 10.
6.8.
Yeah, it had a good beat and you could dance to it. I'd give it a 6.8, a 7?
I'm going to give that an 8. That was
an 8. There you go.
That was fresh.
And sure. It's fresh from like 4 years ago, but it's all right.
For me, it's fresh.
Fresh out of the can.
I need to freshen up.
Or maybe in the can if you don't like it.
Yeah, right.
But I appreciate it, Ben. Thanks for expanding my horizons.
Nice. You know,
it was good to have you here, Rod.
You're the
I'll
man.
Be back here if you need me in the fisheye. You see the look at the monitor. We got a new camera up here. It looks like I'm in a fisheye.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, see, now I see the whole room. Before,
we
a lot of people
up there. I thought you were hiding out in the background.
We would get calls and texts on a regular basis saying, you know, we love Roger. We love hearing Roger. We love seeing Roger. But what's behind Roger? And now
we know.
A blank wall.
Roger on the blank wall.
It'll
be on NBC next week.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. And so, Dino, before we went to the news break, we're talking a little bit about the Cubs. And these are good problems to have, is how can we best replace great players with other great players and hopefully contend for a second consecutive World Series championship. The guy on the line can kind of give us all of those kind of just signposts, right? He can kind of tell us
sure.
which way to go, what's happening, make sense of it all, right? It's the one and only Sam Panayanovich. Sam, welcome to your station.
I am so shocked that you didn't know Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz, Dane. That is just, that's so depressing to me.
You know, I'm focusing on other things. I don't know, childcare, automotive issues. I don't know. But see, here's the thing.
Less important things than the Gorillaz,
no,
of course.
But don't you think at whatever point in your life you can, you know, come to terms with the success and potential greatness of the Gorillaz, I think you're just better for it.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I thought that you had more of an eclectic mix of music, to be honest with you, but I guess not.
No, well, there's some holes here and there, right? You know, it falls through the cracks, and apparently the Gorillaz did that for me, but I'm working on it.
Well, we got him into the mix, though, Sam. I think I think we sold him on that song.
And so Bennett has been all over. He went Motown. He had some country.
He's the mixologist back there.
That's right. That is right. So as the Cubs are trying to find that perfect mix of some of these new players and kind of letting go of some beloved players, the chemistry side was one of the things that I think the Cubs had kind of that magic formula with. So, Sam, as you're seeing this, does it matter because, well, hey, they won the World Series, it's all just kind of gravy from here, or do you think that they're going to put the right pieces in place going forward?
Well, they bought themselves a lot of time. You know, you win a World Series title for the first time in over 100 years. You buy yourself time, and that's exactly what that was. They bring back Dexter Fowler last year on a one-year deal, about like $13 million or so. They win a World Series, and then he's expendable because you have Albert Almora, you have Jason Hayward, you have Kyle Schwarber, you have Ben Zobrist. You have too many outfielders. There's a log jam in the outfield here. And, you know, Dexter Fowler just signed a five-year deal worth $82 million with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cubs aren't going to pay that because Theo and Jed, they're economists. You know, they're going to do what they have to do. They buy low and they sell high. And there was no chance they were going to pay this guy that much money because they've paid Jason Hayward. They've paid John Lester. They have to pay Chris Bryant. Eventually, they have to pay Anthony Rizzo. They're going to run out of cash. So, you know, you appreciate what Dexter Fowler did. He was a part of a championship team, the most historical team in Cubs history. And now you let him go and you give some younger guys a chance. But I mean, there was no way they were going to bring him back. They just couldn't afford him.
Yeah, and it's good to see good things happen to good people, and you knew that that was kind of what was going to happen. But for the outfield there, you've got that kind of musical chairs of too many players, too many decent players, and you know they went into some of this with these great prospects knowing they were going to have to deal them in trades. Was it always going to be Jorge Soler? It seemed like he was kind of always, you know, one of those candidates for this.
Yeah, I mean, they signed him a super cheap deal. It was like a 7 or 8 year contract worth about $30 million. So it was a friendly deal. And when they signed him internationally out of Cuba, you know, they knew that he wasn't going to be a guy that was going to be here all that long. I mean, it was just, you know, they just allocated chips. And eventually, you know, you can't keep all your chips. So Soler was the guy that was kind of on the outside looking in, mostly because of the draft pick of Kyle Schwarber. So you can't keep everybody. You know, if we were in the American League, if the Cubs were in that conversation, if there was a DH, it'd be different. But you don't have a DH in the NL, and you only have three spots, left, center, and right. So you can't play everybody. But the Cubs are in a great position here. And, you know, this team is certainly, you know, they're the favorite in the NL. And I like the moves that they made. You know, they get a closer because they lose Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Now you bring in Wade Davis. I heard this the other day. They subleased Aroldis Chapman last year for a couple of months. This year they are renting Wade Davis for a full season. So I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, $10 million, Sam. That's what he's getting next year. And then they can make a decision after that when they cut him loose, or you know, maybe they re-sign him. So I think it was a shrewd move by the front office to go out and get him for a guy who, like you said, really had nowhere to go. Defensively, he's a liability out in the outfield. You know, and he was injured a lot, you know, and of course, you know, there were questions with Davis with his arm a couple times towards the end of last season. But he's a proven commodity. He's a guy that's been around for a while. He's, you know, been an ace reliever for the last 4 or 5 years now. And it was a move that had to be made because they weren't going to go out and spend that kind of money on a closer. They just weren't going to do it. You know, there was they kicked the tires on, you know, Jansen. I think they realized then that, you know, if they weren't going to pay Chapman that kind of money, he's going to get just about the same kind of deal. So it's, you know, do you want to take him or not? And I just think that they went out and made some good moves over the course of the winter meetings. They brought in John Jay, who's another outfielder in the mix, but he's going to probably platoon with Almora in center. And, you know, Joe will be the wizard and move guys around and get them all playing time. So, you know, I don't know how he did it last year, but he's going to have to do it again this year. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, certainly. And I just mentioned buy low, sell high. If you guys go through that Cubs roster, the one thing you can notice, a trend between Theo and Jet, they don't overpay for pitching. I mean, look throughout that roster. They traded for Jake Arrieta. They've traded for guys in that bullpen. I mean, the only guy they really splurged on was John Lester. They gave him a massive deal for buku bucks, but everybody else has been pretty much acquired through a trade. So they feel like they're going to draft hitting, they're going to trade for pitching, and then they're going to trust their draft process because these guys have been doing nothing but drafting hitters. I mean, they've sort of reinvented the wheel. You know, they draft Elmore, then they draft Soler, Schwarber, and then Bryant. So it's an interesting mix, but they're never going to overpay for a closer. They just don't believe in that because they feel like a guy that's going to pitch, you know, 40 or 50 times a year, why would you give that guy $80 million? I mean, Aroldis Chapman just signed a 5-year deal over $80 million.
Right.
Theo and Jed aren't stupid. They're not going to do that. So they put their money in the right places, and they get their pitching through trades, and it certainly worked out for them.
Well, John Lester, I mean, here's the thing, too, is there's values that are kind of some of these intangibles that are important, and they're, I think, built into the value of some of the deals. I mean, with John Lester, they weren't necessarily just buying pitching. They were certainly doing that, but they were buying this belief that, hey, and this was a team that had, I think was 4 years into last place, that, hey, this can happen, and you can, you know, we can get, you know, marquee free agents, and they can buy into the fact that things are going to change here. And then also kind of that culture of winning. You know, John Lester is the guy that had won World Series. And it was interesting to see when they talked about Wade Davis, one of the first things that they mentioned was, in as far as the reasons, wasn't necessarily the statistics. It was, this is a guy who has closed out world championships. And so, Sam, your thoughts on that, just getting people in there that know how to win, that have won, that have experienced that stuff at that highest level.
Oh, the pedigree is so important. I mean, Wade Davis, Ben Zobrist, now John Lester has a handful of rings. John Lackey has a handful of rings. And now all these guys from last season have rings. So they know what's expected of them. They know what's ahead. And I think the mix is really good. Now, I'm curious to see, you know, how they play like guys like Javi Baez. Is he going to get an everyday role? Is he going to play second base? Is Addison Russell your everyday shortstop? Is Chris Bryant moved to the outfield? You know, these are the questions we ask. And it's funny, you know, 4 seasons ago, we were asking, will the Cubs win 70 games? Now it's, yeah, you know, how will this World Series champion allot their lineup? And everything has worked out. You know, Theo and them, they bottomed out in 2012. They lost 101 games in 2012. It's crazy to think. We turn the page back to 2012 and think about where we are now heading into the 2017 season. It's a miraculous turnaround. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
They did something that had never been done in professional baseball. And now the questions we ask now, they're minor. They're minute compared to the ones that we asked 4 or 5 years ago. They're crazy.
Yeah, it's totally – it's fine-tuning. Dino had mentioned some of the stuff that Joe Maddon does, kind of getting people, moving them around, putting them in different positions, getting them playing time. At what point, Sam, do you think this will happen where – and I know everybody bought in for the sake of winning a championship. They've done that. But you look at the egos; these are different people now than they were, you know, than they were when, you know, it was a couple of years ago, playing in last place or with all the hope and potential. At some point, do you think there'll be some cracks in that whole thing where people will resist being moved around or saying like, I'm better than that, or I'm a bigger star than that? Or do you think that they can just go on forever kind of buying into the whole team thing?
That's a good question. I mean, it's different when you're a champion, you know, when you're hungry and you're aggressive and you want to chase a common goal. I mean, a lot of these guys can win a World Series, and, you know, they have been painted as saviors for so many years in the minors. I mean, we talked about Double A and Triple A more than the majors for so many seasons, right? Because all these young prospects were on the rise. Now they have that title, and now they have solved a little bit of their hunger issues, and now you wonder going forward. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think it starts with the manager. I mean, I call him the wizard all the time. He's a magician. He is so good at getting guys to buy in, not only for the whole season, but it's a day-by-day process. You know, it's nothing that they look at long-term. It's just, what do we do today? What do we do tomorrow? What do we do the next day? So I'm not too concerned about their mentality. I think it's a great group. I think it's a likable group. The only guy that, you know, wasn't likable last year was Aroldis Chapman because of the things he did off the field. He's now gone. I mean, no, I mean, you had those questions, though, coming in. So,
sure. Well,
I mean, it's hard to find a bad apple. No, I mean, name me a bad apple in this bunch. Can you do it?
No. I really...
Well, Miguel Montero seemed dissatisfied with his communication.
Yeah, and he didn't really wait too long to disclose that after the series ended. But beyond that, there really isn't anything. My question, Sam, to you is, what's the future of Jake Arrieta? I mean, you know, he's going into a contract year. Do you think, you know, Boras said, I think I said, was reading today, where he says the window to extend him is now, and... You know, they're just coming off a World Series, but what do you think is going to happen with Arrieta? I mean, is it going to be one of those things where, like you said, they don't pay for pitching? To me, I don't think that's a guy that you're going to invest, you know, a long-term deal in because of what we just talked about a little while ago. They, you know, they buy low and sell high. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
I'd actually be surprised if they brought him back, guys. I mean, he's already in his 30s. He's through his prime right now. He's had two of the better seasons that we've seen from a right-hander in the last 30, 40, 50, maybe even 50 years. So I don't know how it happens. I think you ride his coattails, hopefully, into another playoffs. Maybe they win another National League. Maybe they win a World Series again. But you just can't pay that guy a six-year contract worth, you know, $250 million. He's just not worth it right now. Now, some team will do it.
Yep.
There will be a team like the Nationals or the Mets, or maybe it's the Dodgers or whoever that has a lot of money. But Theo and Jed are shrewd businessmen. They are moneyball guys. They are dollars and cents guys, and they are not going to pay him. I'd be shocked if it happened. Not to mention, if you let him go in a free agency and somebody else signs him, you get a first-round pick.
Yeah, right.
Because you get compensatory compensation. So I just don't see it happening. But that being said, you're going to ride him out through the entire season. And last season, when he went 6-7 innings and they pulled him out, this year he's going to go 8-9 because they're going to get everything they have to get out of him.
Right. No, Sam, you are right. And it just doesn't fit with the business model that they would just fall in love with a player or any kind of reason, sentimental or otherwise, that they would go ahead and do it. It just doesn't fit with it. This is where you say, remember the good times. We had some great times and good luck with that. And then let some other team completely overpay for them. And that's exactly what they're going to do. I mean, you look at this, the payroll on there. You've got, you know, Brian and Russell and, you know, and all these guys that are in there contributing that are basically all-stars. You know, they're paying like $500,000 and, you know, not a ton of money, you know. And that's the way that you do it. That's how you're able to sustain the success that hopefully we'll see on the north side for years to come. So, Sam, thanks so much for jumping on tonight and making sense of this whole Cubs landscape.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have some more show. We should ask Sam a little bit about if he's on, like, not Farmers Only. He wouldn't be on that one, but but any of those other acceptable formats or whatever. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase studio in for Patty until 2 a.m. A couple of the topics we've thrown around is where would you want to live if you weren't living here in the Chicagoland area? We've gotten some texts and some calls in for Florida, for California. Dino, is there any other place that you can think of where I think some people love the winter? Of course, you get a certain amount of winter. We're going to get 10 to 12 inches coming up later on this weekend, but you don't have the winter sports. You know, you don't have skiing or, you know, some people would want to live in, you know, Aspen or Vail or some of those places.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those people, but there are, I have friends of mine that love to go skiing, and I've got one friend who's talking about going to Colorado, and he's retired recently from the fire department, so they may be the next stop. So, you know, if you like winter sports, that's certainly a good place to go. And it's also, you know, beautiful in the summertime there, so you get the best of both worlds.
Look at you. Look at
you. Tourist, I'm a, you know, travel agent by trade, you know.
Yeah, right. So and I'm sure there is a dating site for people who love
Aspen.com.
Winter sports, right. Skiing,
sure,
you know.
Skiinglovers.com. we'll make it up as we go
you
along.
You guys are registering those
sure,
those domains,
I get those domains set up.
As we mentioned a little bit earlier in the program, Ashley Madison is the one. 17 million people that
cheaters.
Are members on there. So, and then there's also 17 million people who are
cheating,
unfortunately not aware of what's going on, most likely.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
And then only 9,000 signed up for BernieSingles.com.
9,000? Yeah, that seems a little light.
You'd think.
Well, maybe that was some of the turnouts in some of the states he was in. I don't know. We'll see.
You would think the people.
Well, that's going to be a lot less now that he's going to be out of the. Now that he's not in the running for president, I wonder if that'll drop off to about 4,500 after next year.
Oh, I don't
know. I'm just kidding.
You got to have things in common. You got to have stuff. Plus a format that works on the dating site. So Bennett, you're a younger guy, and you're, you know, I don't know, on the cutting edge when it comes to knowing. I mean, you printed out this list, and there are so many wonderful sites out there kind of bringing people together, extending the olive branch and whatever else of love. So what are some of the sites that you, your contemporaries, have tried that they found some success? We've got people text and call in, and as far as Farmers Only. And so we've brought some farmers together.
You know, I'm not a farmer guy myself, but I think, you know, for reference, I'm 24. So really, I wouldn't even think about doing a website. It's all app-based for younger people, I would
assume. Whoa, okay.
Because you want it just on your convenience. You know, maybe you have a few minutes passing by. Let's go check that dating
app. Let's
go
find a soulmate.
Let's go find a soulmate. You know, I've got some time in between my coffee meetings or something. Maybe you want to go see if anybody's searching in the area, something like that. So Tinder, Bumble is another dating app that people are very familiar with, you know, on the younger age. But I would say the apps are really taking the cake these days.
So Tinder and Bumble, and these are the kind of things that you can do in between, you know, during your coffee break or something like that.
You can get notifications from these sites all the time, too. It's, you know, they'll send you messages and say, you know, someone checked you out or...
Exactly.
But it doesn't sound like they're going into the 29 levels of compatibility that I think
no,
is so important.
No, not at
Neil
all.
Neil Warren these is not are, on every site.
These are the shallow level, you know,
yeah,
just
let's get
swipe
together.
Left or swipe right.
The one this, level of compatibility.
Are you attracted to this person? Like, no, move on to the next one.
No, I only have 30 seconds. Please, bring them, keep them coming.
See? But I think what that does is it fits... Let's say you're obsessed with Bernie Sanders. There's a place for you, and there's probably it's all those kind of electronic website lids for all the different pods. That's what it is. You've got some, and I'm sure there's a little bit of something for everybody here, right? And you just got to take your time or no time, as Bennett does. 30 seconds.
Right, that's it. Next, turn the page, move on to
it's
the
an
next
attention
one.
Span thing.
Yeah, it's an ADD thing. You know, adult ADD. You just move right on to the next one.
312-91-7200. Your dating successes online, and of course, where you'd rather be than in Chicago. We had a 773 winter. Surfing in Whiting, Indiana.
Whiting, Indiana, the home of Amoco.
I don't know. I mean, I could see tropical, or I could see, you know, beautiful mountainous, you know, as an alternative. But it doesn't seem like Whiting, Indiana has
right
anything.
Off Lake Michigan. You can get some white caps in the middle of the wintertime. Huh?
Yeah. Well, that's
each their own, you know.
Yep. Hey, get out there. Right. Different is different. So 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll send it to news. When we come back after that, we're going to talk with Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is one of the CNN heroes from a previous year. It's a great award that CNN does. They're going to be doing their next one on Sunday, where they pick out 10 people from around the country and highlight good things happening with so much bad stuff in the news. It's good to see some good things. We'll take a quick break. It's Dan here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on a less than snowy Michigan Avenue. Still cold and annoyingly unpleasant.
It is a little chilly out there. If you, take the walk in from the parking lot down below up to the station here, it was a little chilly coming in. It's going to be cold and snowy over the weekend.
Yeah, of course, you're in Chicago. We've got, you know, great restaurants, architecture, sports.
And weather.
Yeah, the weather is one of those things that we don't have the best of. But one of one thing that we have is, you know, a lot of challenges on the news. You know, some of those stories get, you know, are the headlines, the stories, the leading stories in the news broadcasts. And oftentimes, whether it's here, whether it's around the country, whether it's around the world, typically it's negative stuff. And so it's good to see some positive people and just efforts and causes being highlighted at the CNN Heroes is one of those programs, and we're lucky and blessed to have a guy who has been one of those heroes on the line with us now. It is the one and only Dr. Dan Ivankovich. Dr. Dan, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Now, I know that you know, just through what it is that you do, just to let people know, of course, you're you know, emergency physician. You, of course, you've got the One Patient Global Health Initiative. You do spinal cord rescues. You've worked around the world and done a lot of these different rescue situations. So you've been in the middle of negative situations around the world. And, of course, here there's no shortage of those happening in some of our neighborhoods here in the Chicagoland area. But for CNN to highlight some of those positive things and raise awareness of those individuals, that's pretty cool.
You know, it's an amazing show. This is the 10th anniversary right now, and I, you know, through being involved with the program, gotten to be, you know, friends and, you know, work with the various people that have both created the show, and really, really interesting, you know, perspective that they have, because you know, the very thing you're talking about, they said, you know, the world and especially news is so full of just reporting on things that that are bad. I mean, rarely does the news capture, you know, things that reinforce sort of the kind of the humanity of people. It's always, you know, murders, you know, violence, you know, crime, corruption, and, you know, the CNN Heroes, you know, model, you know, I was very fortunate that that they actually were, you know, looking, and apparently, we don't know. I mean, they are selecting their CNN Heroes based on nomination. So, you know, very fortunate there were a lot of people, you know, around the country that noted my work. And, you know, they told me that, you know, we had nominations from people in about 15 states. And, you know, and then they sort of did the rest. They put their weight sort of CNN and, you know, their media. But, you know, this is something that is everyday people changing the world. That's the whole concept of CNN Heroes. And it's great. It was a great opportunity. And yeah, not only that, but, you know, this year there's somebody else from Chicago, a guy named Sheldon Smith, who's actually flying out this year for the 10th anniversary show. They're doing it live. Previously, they recorded it and then would air it at a later date. This year for the 10th anniversary, they're doing it live. And, you know, Sheldon Smith is actually, he's from Chicago. He's one of the final 10. That they selected, and you know, it's a real big deal. He's very excited. He and I speak pretty regularly, and you know, it's a good thing. It's a win-win for everyone, for people that are doing the work, and you know, just for the you know, the organization that you know, that we all, you know, have non-for-profits that we represent. It's nice to get that kind of credit.
Yeah, well, and I think it's an inspiration too, because so many people see that show, and you know, and I'm sure you get some of that feedback of people that say, hey, here's what I've been doing since I heard your story, or here's what I'm doing more of. You bring up Sheldon Smith, and you do a lot of the work that you do with the Global Health Initiative. You do that in, you know, at-risk communities here in Chicago. And what he does with his Dovetail Project, which teaches young fathers the life skills necessary to become responsible parents and positive role models, and so kind of giving a little bit of that, you know, non-traditional education that would normally be just kind of, you know, happen through the family situation, but where it's lacking, he's picking up the slack.
Well, and you know, the very interesting, you know, the people that you know, that are involved in doing the work, you know, last year one of the top 10 heroes, you know, Kim Carter, did a lot of very similar work. you know, with mothers, you know, who were actually incarcerated. And, you know, her non-for-profit started as a result of actually her being in jail and being separated from her children. And, you know, Sheldon actually, you know, as a young man, he's in his 20s, but he was actually incarcerated at one point. And I think it forced him to take a step back and think about, you know, how do I turn my life around? And as you do this kind of work, and, you know, we are all affected profoundly for reasons that we got into doing the work that we do, then you realize that, you know, to be a change agent, you know, we're going to do the work and we're going to, you know, sort of lead the charge to try and, you know, make that impact. And so, you know, yeah, Sheldon is a really amazing success story, you know, Kim Carter last year. And I think, you know, and when you get picked, you know, it's like, you know, the top 10, you know, heroes. I mean, we from last year, the year before, I mean, we're all kind of friends, it's a tight little circle. And, yeah, you know, this stuff is, it's certainly something that, you know, it's a major, you know, life event for you that you're, you know, basically given this sort of international, you know, platform. Because remember, you know, CNN is not just domestic. You know, there's CNN Espanol, there's CNN International. I remember, you know, one of the posts that that they did on Facebook on their CNN Espanol. I think one of the posts they did for me last year got over 50,000 likes.
Wow.
And it was, you know, just like, you know, the magnitude, you know, and you read the comments and you, you know, all the people that sort of reach out to you, it's pretty humbling. So, you know, I think when you take that step back, you know, we don't think about the work that we do because we do it. We're doing it every day. I mean, it's not, you know, and I think the important piece is, you know, trust me, we don't walk around, you know, it's like, it's so funny just because none of us, you know, anytime they use that word hero, it's like, excuse me, hello, no. It's just the work that we do. It's what we've been called to do. And, you know, CNN gives us that platform and the recognition. But, you know, before, during, and after, you know, we're back doing the work. I mean, it's not like, you know, life does change to a degree because, you know, you walk through airports, you get on elevators, and you know, people, you know, look at you and go, hey, man, I saw you on, you know, blah, 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 on CNN. You know, I saw you on the broadcast last year. And so, you know, people do recognize you. People do know who you are and what you do. And it's pretty cool, definitely.
When you look at the people who are chosen and kind of the vocations that they have chosen and being recognized for, there is some common things, whether it's, you know, helping around the world, whether it's disease, sickness, there's a lot of healthcare issues. And then there's a lot of kind of the challenges in the family unit that are highlighted. And you said you don't know that they're kind of identifying you. Do they have different things that they do on a yearly basis or certain focuses that maybe like, hey, we've got to have one of these and one of these? Or do they think that this, the kind of stuff that you do and some of your colleagues are kind of the cornerstones? If you can get this stuff done, you're in the right direction.
You know, I think every year there's going to be things that are occupying the news. You know, last year there were two physicians, Dr. Jim Withers, who is from Pennsylvania. He's a Pittsburgh. That's where his program is, and he runs a street medicine program that he's actually focused on the healthcare needs of people that are living in the streets. And you know, that was something that was in the news. And then last year with all the, you know, the murders in Chicago and the gang violence, that was really sort of the reason they were, you know, kind of reaching out for me and my work because of, you know, the areas that we, you know, that we focus many of our programs in, you know, places like Roseland, Inglewood, you know, Austin, places in Chicago where literally we're serving a subpopulation that is so kind of devoid of any connectivity to Chicago and the news, you know, the violence. I mean, that was something that, you know, they did want to showcase what was going on in Chicago, and they did it through our through our work. So, yeah, I mean, they don't go into their selection process saying, you know, we want to really put this stuff out. I think the news selects that on many levels. I mean, I believe that, you know, they were, when they contacted me last year to say, you know, you've been, you know, nominated, we want to feature you. And then when they've selected their top 10, they said they've been following my work for, you know, several years prior to that. So they're aware of a lot of different people that, that do it. And I think, you know, whatever the, you know, the timing is, you know, international events, like, you know, a couple of, you know, things that were going on with regard to Nepal and earthquakes that, you know, I think of the 10 years, I think three of their heroes of the year were from that region, you know, with the earthquakes and the poverty. So, you know, yeah, I mean, international news events certainly drive what they might put forth, but there's, you know, no shortage of people doing good
right.
work.
Yeah, and you know what, they'll try to right kind of make it timely and dovetail with some of the things in the news and too. So when we come back from this break and let the listeners know, we're talking to Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is the co-founder, medical director for One Patient Global Health, and some of the things that he's doing with respect to medicine and in those communities. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Trending now.
A whopper of a snowstorm headed our way.
The majority of the snow is going to accumulate north of I-80.
As much as a foot could fall to the north, half a foot to the south.
Never, ever miss a story on 720 WGN. We're out to holidays you.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury of Green Tea Services. With family and friends over for the holidays, you want your floors as clean as they can be. So we have a gift that will even make Santa jealous. Green Tea Services will come to your home before the holidays and give your carpets, tile, and hardwood floors a clean they've never seen for 50% off. Our gift to you, we'll pay 50% of your Green Tea carpet, tile, and hardwood floor cleaning. Call our Green Tea crews with the green letter T on top of our trucks.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
For details, call Green Tea Services now and get your carpet, tile, and hardwood floors deep cleaned before the holidays for 50% off. Our gift to you. And don't forget our 100% satisfaction green tea guarantee. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
Hi, it's Wendy Snyder, and you've probably heard me talk about Laura and the miracle Natron's Healthy Trinity performed for her. Well, now hear it in her own words.
Hi, I'm Laura from Yorkville, Illinois. For the last 17 years, I've suffered from severe intestinal issues. I've been recommended prescription drugs, other probiotics, medications, meditation, essential oils, and have actually been told by doctors that they really didn't know what was going on with me. My mom actually was the one that introduced me to Natron Healthy Trinity. She listens to Bill and Wendy on WGN, and because they have this 90-day risk-free trial, I said, you know, why not? Literally after the first day, I was seeing some results. Now, 4 months later, I'm not afraid of being far from a bathroom. Thank you, Natron Healthy Trinity. I will be using your product for the rest of my life, and I'm only 26.
Call for your 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity. First 50 callers right now get free second-day delivery. Call 1-866-4-NATRON. That's 1-866-4-NATREN. Or visit natron.com, and if you do, enter promo code Wendy.
Tonight on WGN TV's, it's round two with Miami. The Heat are in town, and D-Wade's looking to make it 2-0 against his old squad, the Bulls. Heat tonight, 6:30 on WGN TV. WGN, Dane Neal here. Until 2 a.m. in for Patty on Pretty Late. And on the line with us is, you know, one of the leaders, I think, nationally in so many ways on the medicine side and just the thoughtful citizenry side. He's, of course, one of CNN's heroes as that next class is coming in this Sunday for the CNN Hero Show. It's Dr. Dan Ivankovich. Dan, welcome back to WGN.
All right.
So let's talk about it. So you're recognized, and they've been following your work for years. And I think, it's it's always important when you have some of those underserved areas and you're there providing, you know, much needed medical care and attention, especially for those that are uninsured or underinsured. And now as the whole insurance situation is just as crazy as it's ever been, no one knows what's going to happen. So what are your thoughts on that, on the whole? You don't have to get too political if you don't want to, but just in general on the coverage side, the whole Obamacare thing, from your perspective as a guy who actually has to do the work, what should be done?
Well, you know, I mean, this is really a tough, you know, position that you take, because, you know, from day one, I have been highly critical of Obamacare. I mean, for 20 years now, I've been in the communities, on the front line, in the trenches, in Chicago, which is, you know, very, very divided and a very a disparate city. I mean, if you look at the racial disparity in healthcare, you know, the numbers are abysmal. I mean, many of the people of color and the people of poverty in Chicago are living in third world health rates. And, you know, people automatically assume that I'm this, you know, far left wing, you know, radical dude who's, you know, out there, you know, as a bleeding heart, and I'm not. I mean, I have been critical of Obamacare because very little of the legislation was supported by doctors. None of it was actually planned or created with the input of the medical community. And, you know, they put this thing together, and, you know, President Obama is from Illinois. I worked with him when he was a state senator and when he became a senator from the state. And on a healthcare level, there were really not any major healthcare initiatives that he founded that were launched out of Illinois. And, you know, a lot of what was his signature legislation was put together by a bunch of academics that never took care of a patient in their life. So, you know, for me, it's like I do things that are very much based on common sense and the golden rule. And, you know, for years, I've been taking care of tens of thousands of people without any governmental intervention, without any grants, without any funding. And we were able to do things that actually made incredible and profound differences in people's lives. I mean, it's transformational work. And, you know, the thing that has been very frustrating to me is that with the advent of Obamacare, you know, healthcare is still a major issue. People cannot get care. But, you know, the public at large thinks like, oh, yeah, you know, we fixed it. Healthcare has been fixed. And I'd always be saying, you know, no, it's really not. I mean, just because people have been given a card that says they have insurance doesn't mean they can get care. It doesn't mean that they've got a doctor. And, you know, they'd be like, oh, dude, you're so negative. Why can't you really get on board? I'm like, look, I live this stuff every day. I'm on the front lines. You know, when doctors are like coming at me and saying, you know, why don't you get with the program? I'm like, look, how many black people do you take care of? How many minorities? How many poor people? And they'll look at me and I go, yeah, that's what I thought, a nut. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm very critical because as a person who has been a change agent his entire career, you know, I want to see equivalence in healthcare. I want to see people enjoy full lives and enjoy their potential. And the current legislation, you know, as people have seen, I mean, look, Obamacare is a failure. Currently, 22 out of 24 exchanges are insolvent. They're bankrupt, closing, or already closed, like, you know, Illinois has. And, you know, what's the sense of having legislation that is not sustainable? What's the point of having a health program that, you know, people are not able to count on it? So, yeah, I've been very critical, and I think people have finally come around and are understanding what my frustration has been, because now they are being impacted. I mean, look, you know, we got our healthcare premiums, my family, my wife and I, for 2017, the first, you know, week of November prior to the election. And, you know, I'm talking about for me and our children, our annual premium, $45,000 with an over $10,000 deductible. And it's not just about taking care of people who are poor. It's just about people having access to affordable care. And as this touches all of us, look, healthcare touches you if you're poor, if you're rich, if you're young, if you're old. And once you're touched and profoundly affected by it, now you understand. And so, as I said, I am absolutely a believer that healthcare needs to be available and accessible to all Americans. And I also believe it has to be done in a manner that is economical, that the individuals are empowered and they are educated in a way where they can make sensible healthcare decisions about their own well-being, their health and wellness, and also that they have empowerment where they have control. And so I'm glad to see that things are going to evolve. I think there are very good components of Obamacare that that really need to be preserved and they need to be built on. And I think people need to take ownership of their health, and that means they have to be more responsible. So, you know, for me, I might be going out on a limb here, stating, my views of, but it has to be done because I think everyone right now is so frustrated with the fact that healthcare is 1/7 of our national budget, and the fact that we have health rates in our country that are, they're not in the top 5, they're not in the top 10. I mean, we have very abysmal health. This is the first year, I think in 2016, that the American life expectancy is actually going down. Pretty bad.
Jeez. We're talking with Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is the medical director, co-founder for One Patient Global Health Initiative, and is one of the CNN heroes as this newest class for 2016 is going to be coming in during that show. Coming up on Sunday. So what we're going to do, Dan, is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go over the Global One Health Initiative and let people know how they can get involved and support what it is that you're doing. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll send it to news. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. In studio with me, we've got Dino Tiberi to my right, Bennett Wakenight in the booth spinning the hits and on the line with us as we get towards yet another one of those great programs, the CNN Heroes program. We've got one of the past heroes, is a current hero, of course, but as far as recognized on the program, Dr. Dan Ivankovich. Dr. Dan, welcome back.
Hey, all right. Thank you again. And always enjoy spending the early morning hours with the NWGN. It's just one of those lifetime enjoyments. You know, I get to listen to you guys, and I also get to be on there. I get a lot of, whenever I'm on with you, I always get a lot of calls and people checking in on Facebook. I really appreciate that.
Well, because you're out there making a difference. Of course, you forced me I'm obligated to apologize for waking you up, but appreciate. But that's it. When you're a doctor out there on the front lines, you're ready at a moment's notice to do whatever, including kind of talk about some of the things that you're doing. So let's talk about what it is. You saw a need, you saw issues in the community that weren't being addressed, and you got in there and you got to be one of those people that affects a change. And so talk about the initiative, why you started it, how it works, and then how people can support you.
Sure. Well, a real important part that people, they aren't able to appreciate the concept of disability. And, arthritis, spinal cord injury, getting around in this world, if you're not able to walk, if you're not able to, really participate, you can't live life fully. So our initiative has been focused on bringing comprehensive musculoskeletal health and wellness to underserved populations, both in Chicago and around the world. So I deliver those services both in the world of trauma, where people are injured through, gunshots, violence, accidents, but also, the real pleasure that I get is, people that have been neglected by this community. Our city of Chicago is a great city, but 1/3 lives in abject poverty and doesn't have access to care. So for many of these patients, when they have arthritis, when they have knees, hips, and spines that are worn or damaged, we provide the service. So we've been fortunate that in my 20-year career, we have treated over 100,000 patients. Wow. And I've personally provided care to them, and both in Chicago and around the world. So, we formed One Patient Global Health Initiative, really with the understanding that what we could do here You know, we hope to expand one day to do it on a sort of a worldwide platform. And we've had, you know, multiple opportunities through, you know, both radio programs that my wife and I do. And we have, you know, this may be the year to do it, but in the last 5 years, we've had multiple offers and opportunities to actually do a reality television show. And I've been a little bit hesitant because, you know, the early days of reality TV was just, you know, about them trying to make people look as stupid as possible. And I think in the last year, many of the cable operators and producers have said, look, you know, doing good work and transforming people's lives, that's what the public really is interested. They're not, you know, the Kardashians, you know, people realize that that's all fake. That's all a bunch of BS. And, you know, they're looking for things that are real. So we're very fortunate that people have noticed the work that we do and respect it. And so, you know, CNN was an amazing opportunity because in the millions of people that saw us, it raised awareness about the vision of our work, but also helped bring us lots of resources. Being a top 10 CNN hero, we were able to, you know, be on the TV program that helped us raise over $120,000 in the course of that broadcast.
Wow.
And Subaru was very much integral. They're a big sponsor, and they matched a lot of the funding. And people can contribute just going to onepatient.org. Describes the work. There's an opportunity there for people that want to donate. It's fully tax deductible. We are a 501c3 organization, so it's nice that, you know, having this designation that, you know, at the end of the year, people who are looking for something that, you know, maybe they're not doctors or they're not, you know, able to affect the kind of work that we do, but they support the cause, they can contribute and be a part of it without having to get out of bed in the middle of the night and go charging down a freezing ass Lakeshore Drive to take care of someone whose femur is sticking out of their skin, you know.
Ooh. Takes a village, and I'm glad and we're blessed to have you in that village to take care of that particular situation and problem. One Patient Global Health Initiative, it's a nonprofit foundation based right here in Chicago to treat patients, as far as the mission, who have musculoskeletal health disorders, regardless of their ability to pay. And, you know, as Obamacare gets tweaked and changed and maybe gone, what do you think about Ivanka Care? I think it sounds good.
You know what? I think, you know, there was never really kind of a face to Obamacare. It sort of had the name. And if they put a body, you know, if Ivanka, you know, is going to go out and do the rounds in her bikini, and, you know, I think she'll get a lot of attention that way. And that may be both a good and bad thing. But I think it's better to be noteworthy and to be noticed. I think negative attention is better than no attention, right?
Oh, stop. Positive attention and well-deserved has gone towards One Patient Global Health. One more time before we let you go, on the website where people can find out about all the work and, of course, about ways to get involved.
Sure. onepatient.org.
Dr. Daniel Ivankovich, he is up at night to not only entertain and inform us, but also to do the people's work through his foundation. So thanks so much for what you do. Excited to see the show on Sunday for that next class of colleagues going to be joining you in that high company. And thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, have a great one. Anytime you want me on, I'll stay up. If it wasn't so cold, I'd come down to visit you. Thank you for spreading the word, and I always enjoy listening to you. Thank you.
Yep, next time we got to have you in studio. Thanks, Doctor. All right, so we are going to, well, I don't know if we should take a break. I think we will. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, I think we're going to have perhaps Lydia Bastianich on with us. I'm not positive, but we'll see if we've got time for that. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. As we get into the fall months, you think about things to do inside, but of course, eating inside, outside, it's always a great time to do that in Chicago. Happy to have in the studio the woman behind so many of the things that listeners love. She's a best-selling author, star of some of our favorite food TV, and one of the driving forces behind the amazing Eataly Market here in Chicago, the one and only and legendary Lydia Bastianich. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. It's a pleasure being here.
when you think about all the things you do, and you do everything, you know, listeners, fans, all of your public asks for it as far as the products, the television, the books, all the things that you do on the education side. What is your favorite part about being you?
I think maybe doing all of those things at the proper time. I love my restaurants. I love going in, working with the chefs, mentoring and continuing. I love Italy, the mega store where it expresses it. Specifically for me, the educational department is very important. So my books, I come into the city, I come into Italy, I give classes, but also managing the other classes that we put in La Scuola. And that is all related to the season, to the topic, to the products, to the wines. So it's exciting. For me, it's really touching the customer, touching the viewer, sort of instructing them on how to live better Italian way with great Italian products.
So much of what you do is about that thing, sharing and educating so that people can walk away ready to do great things and ready to enjoy things at the highest level. When it comes to Italy, you guys started it in New York and you brought it here to Chicago. It has been a tremendous success. Excited to be able to kind of be a part of that, you know, at least following it, like as you guys did it. And it is for the listeners who have not made that pilgrimage down to Italy. You know, you call it a market, an artisanal market and all that. It is so much more, 60,000 square feet. I mean, it's a virtual city.
It is. It is. We have 7 restaurants, but there's always tastings going on. There's always something to get into and to learn. So whether you come in the morning for breakfast, for the panino in the morning, and your nice cappuccino, you go to work, whether you come for lunch, whether you come for a class, whether you come to shop to make a great lunch or even a feast, whether you want to sort of learn about wines, you go up to the wine department, you can taste, you can have somebody lead you. So, and it's also, you know what it is? It's also a social gathering. You go up at the piazza, and especially after work, everybody gathers with a glass of wine, a little prosciutto, whatever they decide. They make friends and then, you know, take the little cart and with a glass of wine, go shopping. Now, how civilized is that?
I know. I mean, it is absolutely great. And you have amazing events there and you do that on a regular basis. And of course, one of the best things about it, and it's hard to pick just one because there are so many, is something that you have been behind and involved with since the beginning is the La Scuola, because, you know, obviously there's, you know, talented people on the retail side there to explain things and share things. You can do that through the events, but you have an actual classroom.
But you know what it is? It's food 360 degrees, if you will. You know, you come in there, that's Italy. You can come in there, sit down elegantly and be served. You can grab a pizza. You can grab a sandwich. You can then learn about the products, buy your products, take them home. You can go to La Scuola, learn, and ultimately go home and cook it yourself. So it's 360 degree of Italian food products, techniques, all of that. And, you know, empowering the buyer, the customer, to feel comfortable with the products, to know them, and ultimately to serve them at their home as well.
Italy here in Chicago has been truly embraced. It is one of the more popular destinations. And you think of it, Italy has so much to share, and you as that ambassador are doing that. But one of the very cool things about it is that you guys incorporate and kind of, you know, put yourself in the middle of the area of the region, and you incorporate so many great artisanal goods from local farms, you know, local growers.
Well, you see, Italy is based on that premises. Initially, when I got involved, so Italy, the country, has 20 regions. And each region, you know, it's Italy, the country, is smaller than California. And yet, you know, we hear so much about it and it has so many individual products. And it is those regional artisanal products that make Italy and Italian food so spectacular. So one of the things that really interested me when Oscar Farinetti, the founder of Italy, came to me, I went to visit him in Torino because I was curious about this Italy. And he came to me and ultimately we spoke and whatever. And he said, you know, Lydia, I really would like to come to America, to New York, because I think that this would be, the Americans would appreciate. And indeed, this was the perfect thing. But what really amazed me was his connection to Slow Food. You know, all the slow. Now, Slow Food is an organization from Piemonte that harbors, that kind of encourages all the small artisans that do small things. So in our retail department, you have the products from all of those small artisans that other stores do not have. But we went even a step further. We do research locally and use some of the local producers because, you know, the meats, the vegetables, and all of that need to be local. So is that accent on those artisanal producers that really kind of grabbed to my heart? Because
You take local people that are small just by nature, by design, and you put them on alongside some of these great products from around the world, from Italy, and then you put them on that big stage, right? And it gives them the recognition that you know they deserve.
Absolutely. You know, they would never make it to America because they're too small. They would have never made it. You know, so we found a way to bring them into Italy, and people love them. They love this uniqueness of having, I would venture to say that more than 50-60% of our retail ingredients are small artisanal that you cannot find them anyplace else.
One of the other things that you guys do so well is you take the components of Italy and then you highlight it in either different events or different festivals or even kind of long kind of pop-up things that go on. The one that's coming up is one of my absolute favorites because you take these elevated ingredients that to some people, everybody I think generally loves, but they can be kind of mysterious, right? And you bring them to the people and showcase them over time. Il Tartufo is coming. It's a pop-up restaurant. Talk a little bit about what people are going to experience.
Il Tartufo is going to run right into till the end of December. That's when the truffle is at its best. And Il Tartufo is the restaurant that will highlight mostly truffle. Every single dish is related that goes well with truffle. Piemonte is the region that truffle really excels in Italy. And so a lot of those dishes are traditional Piedmontese dishes with the shavings of truffle on top. Now, truffle is expensive, but you can have some of those dishes just with the essence. You don't need to have shavings on every single dish. And what else? We have a program in place where we put the truffle and the shaver on your and the scale.
It sounds dangerous.
We have the scale.
Right.
So you can sort of shave away as much as you like. And then we weigh it when it hits the table and when it leaves the table. In between is what it costs you.
Wow. Just to have those options available for people to be able to experience it. And if they want more, they can go ahead and do that. But just to be that close with that process, I think is very exciting.
Absolutely. And, you know, they'd be sort of led through it if they had never done that.
So Italy.com, Italy Chicago. You can go ahead and look for the schedule for Il Tartufo. But going through December, it gives people a lot of options in order to get out there and experience it.
Absolutely. It's very festive. You know, if you have a special occasion to celebrate the holidays, that's the place.
And you had one other thing that you wanted to bring up as well.
Right. There's, you know, for PBS, I do my regular show, but also I do a yearly special, Lydia Celebrates America. And this yearly special is in prime time. It's going to run in at the end of November. And it's an hour special. And this year I did it on the veterans. And it was a most extraordinary filming and experience for me. I met and interviewed four U.S. veterans, young people, young men and women that went out there. And some of them, one of them was a triple amputee. And wow. These people don't regret what they did. But I think evermore we need to really appreciate what they did for us. And so, you know, I would love for people to watch this PBS special in the end, towards the end of November. I'm not sure exactly what date it will air here. I think I'm going to even present it to Congress. They're interested in it. Lydia Celebrates America, A Holiday for Heroes.
Lydia Celebrates America, A Holiday for Heroes. Again, more that you're offering people and sharing and trying to use this platform that you have to kind of help people and bring that message forward as well. So thanks so much again for what you do. Thanks for being here in Chicago. Italy.com/gifts for the gifts. And of course, Lydia'sItaly.com to find out all of those things related to the books and the programming and everything. Lydia, thanks so much for what you do. And thanks for being here in WGN.
Oh, my pleasure.